I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi!
Hi!
Hi, it's Caitlin Bradnick.
And this is Sue Smith.
And this is Scam Wow.
We love scams. Welcome.
Welcome. We're so excited to have you guys. Again, this is Scam Wow, a podcast about scams. We kind of know what we're talking about, but really it's just for fun. We're just happy to be here.
Guys, this is satire. We're comedians. Please don't sue us, okay?
Yeah, please Google these scams on your own, because we're just doing the best we can, okay? But we have an amazing, good friend in the studio. The kind
great
of girl,
friend.
Great, closest in the world. The kind of friend that you find at your local, she was at one of like the bistros near me. It's not a cafe, eating french fries, because I told her to get french fries. And then I was like, that's it, we're destined. We're friends forever. And then we went and got french fries there like a week later.
Yep. She loves to hang out at a bistro like the little French girl she is, with her striped shirt and her scarf around her neck.
Actually, she's looking very fancy right now.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. And that girl is Gigi Lee.
Gigi Lee.
Bonjour, Gigi Lee. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be a scamspondent.
And also to clarify, Gigi is an actual reporter as well. She's appeared in the New York Times and the New Yorker. So she's a legit scamspondent.
Writing satire.
Really?
I don't want people to think I'm like Nicholas Kristof.
No, you are so smart and so funny. And Gigi has notes here with dates circled and also flashcards. So she has like notebook paper, like from third grade, and also flashcards, which is, we're getting a photo for the gram because she's a little tiny genius.
I'm forever a student.
Honored.
No, but it's really because I think the older I get, the harder it is for me to remember salient details.
Well, I also get very excited. And so then I forget where I am. And there's been a couple stories on this podcast where I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me back up. And I'm like, wow, I'm terrible to listen to right now. Please don't unsubscribe. I need you in my life. So Gigi and I were talking about our life goals and what we wanted to do with our careers and everything. And immediately, that was right when Sue and I started with Scam Wow. So I was like, Gigi, you got to get on this. We got to connect.
But Gigi and Caitlin are both like legit storytellers. They are the beacons of the NYC storytelling community. And have been doing it for the femme fatales and have been doing it for years and years and basically started the whole community. So I don't know, haters.
You heard it here back first. Off.
Don't tell Ophira Eisenberg
or Margot Lightland. Blame my models. Yeah. Don't tell Jocelyn.
Don't tell like my heroes. So Gigi, Gigi said she wasn't a part of any scams. She wasn't scammed, to her knowledge.
Although I was probably a scammer as a child, as were you.
As I am, a full-time scammer. But Gigi came in with a report on a scam, which is so exciting.
Yes, because once I started thinking about it, I was like, wow, there are so many scams. So like, this country was built on scams.
Yes, that's what we say.
And I think thank you.
It's like naturally, I feel like the US is like naturally building scam artists because to get ahead in this country, like people will only respect you if you're wealthy or successful. And no wonder people
male.
Are. Yes.
Yeah.
So my scam today is H.H. Holmes.
Tell us.
Oh.
Real name Herman Webster Mudgett. So that's the first sign of a scam artist.
Mudgett.
Yeah. He's many bad. Aliases.
Wow, I don't know anything about bad. This. I'm so curious.
So he's a 19th century con man, and he's considered America's first known serial killer.
Whoa.
So today he would be classified as a psychopath.
If we're getting it all out there, today he'd be classified as a psychopath.
And I think that's why he got away with his crimes for so long, because like there was no one to like profile this guy. You
yeah,
know?
The checks and balances weren't there when you had like to the horse ridden carriage for mail, right?
Right.
What's it called? The Pony Express. Yeah.
Because people would be like, oh, there's something off about him, but I don't know what it is.
And if there's no evidence because it's happened so long ago, it's just hearsay from other towns. Yeah.
Wait, before you get going on a note, did you read Devil in the White City?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read that on my honeymoon.
Is that about
is my husband a con artist?
That's fucked up, Gigi.
It'll make you suspect all day.
I can't wait to have your husband on the podcast. He's booked.
He's H.H. Holmes. And an interesting thing about him, and I guess this is common for like most scam artists, is that he was very charismatic.
Yes.
He was a ladies' man.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're making a movie out of Devil in the White City. Scorsese's directing. And you know who's starring as H.H. Holmes? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Of course.
So that's how, like, I guess this guy was pretty handsome for, like, the 1890s.
Leonardo DiCaprio nowadays just seems like he's covered in, like, a thin layer of oil to me. Like, I was so into him in Romeo and Juliet, and I was like, that is love, like a psychopath that loves you and is smoking cigarettes and will die for you when I was a child. That was love to me. Not dissimilar to how I feel now, but he now just seems like this, like, big, huge, wet man.
I find him most attractive in The Revenant, so maybe that's just me.
No, great. I'm glad. But yeah, he does seem a perfect scammy character.
He's very greasy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he operated mostly in Chicago, and his heyday was like 1893, which interestingly was a few years after like the Jack the Ripper killings. And so some people thought that maybe H.H. Holmes was Jack the Ripper, but he was
more
not.
Of a copycat.
He was, yeah. It was just I think everyone was just trying to kill and murder.
It was just like very trendy to be a murderer.
But he's from somewhere else though, right?
Yeah. So he grew up in New Hampshire and exhibited kind of like disturbing signs from an early age. He was known to torture and maim animals, you know, like the classic.
Yeah, really checks out. Behavior. Very simple.
And then when he was 19, he went to medical school at the University of Michigan. And this is when he, like, started finding his, like, MO. Like, he was into insurance fraud.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, so he would steal cadavers from the University of Michigan. And then coincidentally, like, someone in that area would die mysteriously.
Okay.
So he would, like, fake their death and then claim the insurance money.
Oh, so he didn't murder people at the time. He was just throwing around some cadavers.
Right.
Okay.
But he would actually also murder residents.
He was selling their body parts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so,
Caitlin, you're going to hate this one.
I'm what?
You're going to hate this one.
I know. I really do hate anything with blood and guts and death, but I love you guys, so I'm in it.
I wouldn't. Okay, I mean, some of the scams that he pulls off, I just don't think. I think this like shows that how, I guess, smart he was, because I could not even think of something like that. Like,
I guess
fake someone's
smart
death, steal a cadaver,
or
sell that.
Psycho.
Or psycho. And I think to really understand, like, to get the context of it, it's like you also have to understand the history, the historical context. So, like, this was taking place in 1893 during the Chicago's World's Fair, which was, like, a big event, huge deal for the U.S. And in Devil in the White City, he describes it as, like, the apex of, like, American culture and beauty.
Yes.
And people call the World's Fair the White City because it just represented beauty and prosperity. And then, like, a few miles away, this guy is, like, committing the darkest,
creepiest
crimes.
I can't get over two dead bodies. Who needs both? You got one. You're fine.
Well, there are a lot more.
He, like, made so much funny money selling, like, arms and legs and shit.
Yeah, because I think there was a cadaver shortage also. So medical schools were, like, really into this because they're like, oh, we need something to study.
Great. We're dying for some deadbeats.
So I guess I'll start off with, like, describing his murder castle.
Thank you.
Because it's kind of like a character in its own way in this story.
Okay.
So he moves to Chicago, and he moves to Englewood, which is like a suburb of Chicago, pretty affluent. Nothing big's happening there. And he thinks, oh, let me buy this property and open it to start a hotel because I figure people will be coming in for the World's Fair, and they'll want to stay at this place.
Yeah.
And also he'll get to meet his victims that way. So he buys his property. He buys it using a fake name. And he has these, like, grand plans to turn this into, like, a murder hotel.
Okay.
So, like, the first floor of this place is, like, he's going to have retail shops because he figures that's a good decoy. And then the second and third floors are, like, it's just crazy. It's, like, he had 55 doors that just opened onto brick walls.
Mm-hmm.
Stairwells that led to nowhere. He had a chute going from, like, the second floor to the basement that was, like, big enough for a body. Sorry, Caitlin.
Oh my God.
Like, so
this is amazing.
And so, he had rooms that with, like, gas chambers,
yes,
right?
Yeah, he installed.
No.
Yeah.
Right, I'm out.
And so, like,
sorry.
No, the Holocaust flashbacks. Okay. That I wasn't a part of, but just
of
my
ancestors.
My ancestors.
And so you would think, like, how does he build this building without anyone suspecting?
Right.
So his scheme is that he's going to hire his own workmen. He acts as his own architect and contractor. So he hires all these workmen, carpenters. And then when they start, like, doing their jobs and they're noticing that they're not getting paid, so they would, like, demand money from him, and he's like, oh, you did shoddy work, so I'm not going to pay you. And so these men would then quit. And so then he would just hire new workers. So because of this high turnover, he was able to have them build, like,
bizarre things,
and no one thought it was weird that he also had, like, a crematorium in the basement.
Oh, my God.
So that's one example of his...
People, like, let me just say that people need to call out stuff. If you see something, say something.
Yeah. If you see a crematorium in a basement you're working on as a contractor, you know what? Like, give someone a tip.
Or, like, why does this hotel room need a gas?
Like, gas chamber.
Outlet
or was he saying, like, oh, it's like a new perfume experience? Like, I'm sure you could really spin it as some bullshit hippie thing.
And he would, like, buy chloroform in, like, large quantities, and no one thought that was weird.
Well, if he's, like, went to medical school and was, like, acting like a doctor, did he have any degree or just went there just to, like, understand how to dismember a body?
I think he must have had a degree. I don't remember what
that's okay.
What degree he
I don't
got
know if he graduated. I don't think he graduated, but he did practice medicine or dentistry, I think.
Yeah, he had his own medical practice, but then I think he wasn't making a lot of money from that, and so that's why he started this.
Wait, is this based on that musical, like, the murder of something Street, the butcher of Patti LaBelle, wasn't it? What's that musical?
The Demon Barber of Fleet Street?
Yes. Was that him?
I feel like that was before. Oh, Sweeney Todd. I think that might have been before his time.
Okay. All my murders just clumped together.
So he starts this hotel, and around this time he marries this woman, Murda Belknap, and all of this. So he's a ladies man, and he attracts like the same kind of woman, like
he's
very
Leonardo
attractive.
DiCaprio.
He's Leonardo DiCaprio. He's like, getting these like beautiful, wealthy women who don't suspect a thing. And oh, also Murda is actually his second wife. He's been married to another woman this whole time. I think she lived back home in New Hampshire, and he never, for some reason, like didn't bother to like formally divorce her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got other things to do.
Yeah, I think he left and he was like, I'm going to go to Chicago and make money. And then he just never got back to her.
Yeah, so she's just like, I was ghosted by my husband. She had a child with him.
BRB, I got to make a gas chamber and then a crematorium. And ugh, sorry, forgot to divorce you.
And
please raise the child.
But he does this a few times with a few different women.
Yeah, so he was married to like three women.
Cool.
Total.
Wow.
He's a good dude.
Mm-hmm. He's a good dude. He's a ladies' man. Mm-hmm. And so Murda, she actually never lived with him in the hotel. She lived in Wilmette, Illinois. So I don't know how he, like, juggled that, where he's like, I'm married to you, but we should live apart.
Huh. Okay.
And Murda had a wealthy uncle. And so this is, like, another example of how he, like, combined his, like, his schemes and also his, like murderous lust. Mm-hmm. So he manages to convince Murda's uncle to give him like $2,000 for his hotel. And the uncle, it's like, even though this guy is like Leonardo DiCaprio, like charming everyone, the uncle like feels like kind of uneasy about him.
Right.
Like there's just something about him. He was like too cool. And he said like his eyes, like you felt like there was like nothing.
Right, that's number one serial killer. There's nothing there.
Mm. Yeah, like shark eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But the uncle, you know, his daughter, his niece really loves this guy, so he's like, okay, I'll give you the money. And then Holmes is like, oh, uncle, why don't you come visit the property?
Mm.
And I'll give you a tour. So he like shows him around the first floor. And then he's like, oh, uncle, you really got to check out the roof and see the view from the roof. And the uncle's like, I don't want to go to a
Smart.
Room with you.
Yeah.
So he like tries to think of some excuse. He's like, oh, you know what? I'm an old man and I don't want to take these stairs to the roof. And so he stays at the hotel overnight and he like locks the door because he's just like creeped out. And then in the middle of the night, he hears like a key jangling in the in the lock.
So scared.
Yes. And he's like, what the hell? And I feel so bad for him. He's like this older man. And he's like, who's there? And a guy, he hears a male voice and he's just like, oh, I just wanted you to see if you're okay, if you wanted to come out. And he's like, no, go away. And like he could still hear like someone behind the door. And so he like stayed up all night, didn't go back to sleep.
Yeah, of course.
Then later he finds out that Holmes tried to forge a check using his name, and he like puts together like, oh, he was trying to kill me that night so that he could get my
money.
Take
the money,
And he in Devil in the White City, his last line was like, I'm glad that I was afraid of heights and I didn't go with him.
Wait, so the uncle got out?
Yeah, he survived.
Okay, because while all this was happening, I was like, if he's dead, how do you find this very detailed story?
I'm like, I don't know where they find this information. Yeah.
Okay, great. So he survived and he went back to wherever he's from with his money.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think he told anybody.
He didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's hard. I think, I don't know. Or maybe he just told one or two people, but it's a small town. And like, what do you do?
Well, again, and I think because they didn't have like, you know, FBI profilers to be like, you should be on the lookout for like this type of
for
person
sure.
is like very suspicious. And then I think that's also like the con artist's MO is that they don't blatantly
immediately murder you. Yes. No, it's true. It's like there is this sort of like wining and dining friendship and like they are really in it for the long haul or the long murder.
Yeah.
If that's
long con
choice.
So meanwhile, he has these stores on the first floor and he starts hiring like young women to work for him. And, you know, these women are excited because it's like, you know, that era, like you don't have many opportunities to like work and have like a livelihood. And so he like wins their trust that way because they're like, oh, I'm making money. This guy's really nice to me. He's handsome. And he would like appoint them as notary publics. So they could like they would end up like notarizing his like fraudulent documents. And then he'd be like, oh, why don't you add me as a beneficiary to your insurance?
Oh, no.
And then later they would like mysteriously disappear.
Yeah. And then he'd have disappear. That money.
Yeah. And then one of his victims is really sad. So this woman, Emmeline, she was like his personal secretary. And she was like really excited because this is like one of her first jobs. And he like seduces her. He takes her to the opera. And then one day this man comes into the store where she's working and he's looking for homes. And she assumed that like maybe it was like a creditor or something because at this time, like he's just like all these creditors are so upset with him.
Yeah,
because
she's
he's just
his personal assistant. She knows that there's something slightly shady. But she's probably in love with him. Just probably.
Doesn't know
she
that
doesn't
he has
ask
two
questions.
Wives.
Yeah.
And so this man's like, he doesn't tell her, but he's just like, you should get out of here as soon as you can. And it turned out that this man had used to work for Holmes. His name is Ned Connor. And like he and his wife worked for Holmes. And his wife ended up falling in love with Holmes because she fell for his. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Charm.
Wine and dining.
And then Ned kind of was like, okay, my wife likes this man, so I'm just gonna leave. But then his wife ended up disappearing. Mm-hmm. So Emmeline's like, she starts to suspect that like maybe there's like something wrong with her boss. And she befriends like the other hotel guests. And one day the hotel guests notice that like Emmeline isn't around mm-hmm. anymore. And so they ask Holmes, like, what happened to Emmeline? We were supposed to, like, hang out together. It was, like, Christmas was approaching. And Holmes is like, oh, she went off and married someone. And they're like, that's weird because she didn't tell us she was
with you.
Dating anyone.
She's been your secretary for way longer than any other person.
And he's like, he even was like, oh, I have her wedding invitation. And it's like, clearly forged by him.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. he learned calligraphy and was like, yeah, this is her wedding invitation. So she's married. So, yeah. And then they never heard from her again.
Oh, jeez.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So this it's so much like the personality and the like charm and the confidence.
Yes.
That's what that no one questioned him.
Ugh. Yeah. And I guess he was like he must have been fairly intelligent. Like he went to medical school, so he kind of knew what he was doing.
And there's also like usually with con artists, with one of our former guests we were talking about, like there's a pushiness with them. They're like, don't worry. Yes. I've got it under control. Any like they. Because they're so psychotic, I do think that there is this bizarre intelligence where they can think of every other option. Like they can think of what you might be afraid of or what you might be suspicious of. So they can take away your fears. Like they sort of go like, oh, well, you might be worried about this, but I'll take care of that. Yeah. Or this and that. Mm-hmm. And so they sort of are five steps ahead of you because they're plotting it.
Exactly. And like he must have known that these people were going to ask, you know, what happened to Emily. And he thinks, oh, already. I will create this fake wedding invitation. Yeah.
And I mean, mm-hmm. the other thing with psychopaths, and if this guy was already like abusing animals as a child, like there's no remorse for death. Like,
no.
There's like this also obvious, like the wedding invitation is so, you know, meticulous.
Yeah.
Like,
you're like, how does someone even come up with that kind of
now,
fly?
Did anybody discover this mansion, discover like dead, burned corpses or anything? Or any, like, how did
no,
this?
No, I mean, people would occasionally be like, he always smells like chloroform. Or like, I noticed that like a lot of his employees. You know, they start working there and then they like mysteriously like have decided to like vacation in South America. So people are like starting to suspect, but he was also like friendly with law enforcement.
Of course.
He had a restaurant on his first floor, so he would give them like free meals, cigars. And also because this was taking place in Chicago during the World's Fair, like the World's Fair was like a big distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also like part of his, like that's so great for a con artist because they're like, this is my opportunity. No one's going to notice me. Right. And there was so much crime happening in Chicago. So like policemen would get letters, you know, the police would get letters from family members being like, my daughter visited Chicago, we don't know where she is. Can you please find her? And they're like, we have so many other murders to investigate. Like, we don't have time for this.
And was Emmeline the one in the trunk? That's a horrible story.
No, that was is a good opportunity to introduce this guy, Benjamin Pitzel, who was one of the workers when he was building his, like, murder hotel. And usually he would, you know, would fire all of his his labor, but he liked this guy for whatever reason. I think he also committed...
Equally a psychopath, yeah. Psychopath sees psychopath.
No feelings. Yeah, no.
So Benjamin Pitzel was his accomplice. And he is actually the one that, like, found Emmeline. I think he also... Benjamin also had, like, an alcohol problem, and he would stay at this, like... I don't want to call it resort, but, like...
Oh, like rehab?
Rehab, yeah.
Rehab. Fancy rehab.
And that's where he, like, met Emmeline, and he was like, oh, Holmes, you have to, like, meet this woman. She's so gorgeous. And so that's how they, like, recruited her. So Benjamin Pitzel had a wife and, like, five kids, and he worked for Holmes. And, like, I think he would even, like, help lure guests to the hotel and, like, help, like, burn the bodies and all this gross stuff. So, I think, like, around 1894, Holmes is getting, like, all these creditors are on his back, and he and Benjamin Pitzel flee. So they're, like, on the lam. And but yet Holmes still manages to find time to, like, marry another woman.
Of course.
So he meets his third wife, Georgiana. And I think they end up, like, they go to, like, St. Louis, Texas, and they end up in Philadelphia. And he and Pitzel are, like, they plot to, like, try to steal, sorry, not steal, but they plot to try to get $10,000 from Fidelity Insurance. And the plan is Pitzel's going to fake his own death. Mm-hmm. And they're going to steal a cadaver, badly burn it.
Simple, simple.
And then claim the insurance money.
Right.
And then use, like, a fake name for the corpse. So later, Holmes gets arrested for, like, some petty crime.
That's amazing. That's,
yeah, he ends up getting...
He's, like, burning
he, like,
people.
Steals has, gum.
Like, creepy doors. Yeah.
Yeah, he's had these, like, flawless, like, meticulous, like...
Right.
These, like, extravagant plans, and yet he, like, gets caught from some, like, petty scheme.
It's like Robert Durst stealing the sandwich from the gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he got, like, too arrogant because while he's in prison, mm-hmm. he, like, tells another inmate about his, like, plan. And he's, like, promising the inmate, like, oh, I'll give you, like, $500 if you want to do this. And so he never gives this guy the money. And so the inmate tells the police about what really happened.
That's when he gets out of prison?
So he's still in prison.
Oh, okay.
And it turns out that Benjamin Pitzel, they didn't fake his death, that he actually murdered Benjamin Pitzel. For whatever reason, which is kind of strange because he was his accomplice.
Well,
for
if you're a psychopath, you'll kill anybody.
Yeah, maybe he like maybe they got into an argument.
He knew too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the sad part was so he is involved in this insurance scheme. The Benjamin Pitzel's wife is also aware of the scheme. Like she was gonna get some of the money because you know they had five kids. And I don't know, I didn't understand why he did this, but so Holmes took three of Pitzel's kids with him, like on the run.
This is after he got out of prison.
Oh, sorry, this is before prison.
Okay.
And then later, when he was in prison, that's when they discovered that he had murdered.
Okay.
His accomplice.
So Pitzel had his three kids with Holmes, and they're all on the run, and they're in Pennsylvania.
They're like going everywhere. So
okay.
Like Pennsylvania.
Everywhere. With this new wife too.
Yes.
So there's this mini family.
Mini family.
And they're taking trains everywhere, right?
Yeah. And so that's why he
that's
has
expensive.
Like he has this huge like luggage case.
Yeah.
And I think like he just like thought they were weighing him down. You
the
know,
kids?
Trying to flee with kids. So I won't tell this part. I won't talk about this part.
No.
But yeah, so that's how
it yeah. Goes. Oh, no. Caitlin's going to hate that.
I'm going to cry. Okay. So kids didn't make it. That's all. They went to a magical place. They poofed into thin air and they became unicorns.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. So he does all this horrible stuff and then he manages to get himself in prison doing some, he probably forged a check or something.
Right.
And so that's when he is in prison, that's when the authorities are like, they find out about
everything else.
This horrible thing that he did. So that's when they discovered his like murder castle.
Did she survive this?
So all of his wives survived.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they?
He never killed, I mean, his three main wives.
His three prime wives.
Yeah.
His mistresses seem dead.
Seemed dead.
Yeah.
For what? Yeah. I guess if it was a compliment if he married you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to kill you.
And so that's when they find out about his hotel, and they go to investigate the building, and they find some like corpses. They find he had a soundproof vault installed in his hotel, and they discovered like a footprint like in the metal, and they were like, "How does a footprint get like embedded in metal?" And what they think happened is that I guess they figured out that so the footprint matched like Emmeline's.
Okay.
I don't know how they got that. The forensics was pretty sophisticated, fairly. So what they think happened is that he must have put, like, acid on the floor of this vault. And so she stepped on it, and then, like, her footprint was, like, forever.
And was, like, trying to kick her way out of it. That's kind of what they thought.
Yeah,
that's
really sad.
Sorry, it's bad.
No. So, he's not just a con man, but just, like a sadist. And then, strangely... Before they could, like, uncover more evidence, the building burned down.
All right.
And they don't know who did it.
Get rid of it. I'm fine with that. Just get that shit done.
It's now post office.
Oh, my God.
Wait. It was Pitzel? Do you think that was Pitzel? No, Pitzel's dead, right?
Right, Pitzel's dead. I don't think it was Holmes unless he like escaped.
He could have paid somebody to do it.
Had, I think he had a, like kind of a lot of operatives.
Yeah.
And initially, like the reason that he even built that property in the first place, other than the murders, I think he had always planned to like burn it down and then try to get like insurance money.
For yes. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's always some insurance money.
It's always about the insurance money for this guy. And so he was sentenced. He had a death by hanging. But even his death had some con artistry to it and some controversy. So he didn't want an autopsy, and he demanded that his like coffin be encased in cement.
Okay.
Because he was afraid that, like, I guess grave robbers would also try to steal his body, like some bad
karma.
Takes
one to know one.
Mm-hmm. And so people think, like, he did his own fake death? His own death. Mm-hmm. And so I think so quite recently, like maybe even a year ago, his relatives wanted his body exhumed just to make sure that it was indeed him.
Who cares?
Who cares?
My God.
He's dead by now. It's been 100 years.
Great, 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 great uncle. Let him be a psychopath.
And yeah, come on. So, yeah, so DNA test confirmed that it was.
It was him. Oh, they did exhume it.
Yeah, they did.
Ew.
Ugh. Wait. I don't remember. Did they ever get like a count on how many people he killed, or was it like impossible?
Do you think it could have been anywhere from 27 to 200?
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Just like a somewhere in there.
You know, casual.
But the hotel, you know, like
it was very good business. Yeah. Doing great business.
But they were only able to confirm 9 of the victims.
Oh,
And also, like, he was like quite the like storyteller. And I think he embellished a lot of his story. So they don't really know, like, was he like telling, exaggerating how many people he killed? Did he really kill 200
people?
Did
he talk about that he killed people? I guess in jail. That was
yeah, and then
bros.
He would like brag about. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, mm-hmm. I think he wrote a memoir while he was in jail.
You know, and if you're a psychopath, write your little memoirs. Yes.
So jealous. Like, he didn't have writer's block.
He didn't have writer's block. No, because he had no soul. There's nothing to block him or guilt or any love in his life. Yeah, that would help your writer's block.
Oh, my gosh. We should all be psychopaths.
No, that's
insane.
Oh, my
God.
No, I didn't
it's
say that.
It's so bad.
That's okay. No, I trust it. Wow. I'm never going to not think of all these horrible things as I try and fall asleep tonight. Yeah, I'm really bad with murder because I can't get it out of my head. I think
really?
Yeah, as far as you can go from like the psychopath that doesn't care, like I will be thinking all day about all these thoughts because I just can't get over it. One, it's like a huge fear of mine that I'm going to suddenly be trunked.
trunked and get murdered.
Don't get trunked.
Don't get trunked, guys. Or that like it just could happen so easily and quickly around that like people don't care.
Maybe that's like one good thing about like having the internet these days.
Yes.
Is that like, I don't know, if they had like TripAdvisor back then, I don't think all those people would have gone to his hotel.
Oh God, no. Hotels.com.
Yelp.
And that's actually a fear of mine is like I'm so scared about like Airbnb.
Yes.
You know, like I check every single review.
Me too.
Yes.
And, like I look at every photo just to make sure it's not like a murder house.
I'm worried about like Uber drivers. I'm like, this guy could take me wherever the fuck he wants. Yeah, it's totally. I have sent my location address to multiple friends. It's like, share where you're going. I've sent it to so many people because I'm like, look, I don't know what the hell could happen. My life's in their hands, but I also need to get to someplace in 15 minutes and I can't take the subway.
I think hotels are the worst though. Hotels, I'm like always so freaked out. Lately, ugh.
They're dirty as hell, too. You know you're not supposed to use that, like, top comforter. You're supposed to take that off immediately. Because that's what everybody has sex on, apparently.
Oh,
and
great.
They don't know. Yeah. You take that off immediately, and you can only use the sheets under. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
The first thing. Now you know.
Okay. Well. But, I mean, I would think that hotels would be more safe because you have, like, all these people around you, at least.
Well, yeah. Now there's, like, cameras. There's, like, a lot of stuff. There's internet. I mean, also, like people are live streaming every single thing they do. They take a shower, they're streaming it. I mean, like everything's very open.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That hotels can be more safe than an Airbnb because an Airbnb, nobody's watching. Like you can get an Airbnb in the middle of the woods and no one would know.
Yeah.
And hotels, everybody's around.
But also part of me really wants to go to a cabin in the woods and just have like a really nice cabin trip.
Sure. Of course. We all do.
Just don't pick a place that's, like, near a prison.
No.
I'm always worried about escaped inmates.
Oh, I don't mind.
Oh, my gosh. They're thank great. You, Gigi. Thank you for something else to worry about.
Yes, Gigi. So I thank you for the extensive work done. I mean, this is gorgeous. This is so far beyond anything I can ever do. I'm usually telling a story and like second guess myself and asking the listener to please Google it yourself because I don't know if this is true because I'm dyslexic. So this is like amazing. You're a gem and a gift.
Thank you so much for having me. And now I my eyes are open to all the scams.
Okay.
Yeah. And side note, when I read this book, so the way it goes is there's like a couple chapters on the H.H. Holmes and a couple chapters on the World's Fair. I like don't like reading history books. So towards the end, I was just reading the murder chapters.
Yeah, like skipping over like I don't need to know about Frederick Law Olmsted.
It was so disturbing. Yeah.
That is so you, Sue. Yeah, like, no, let me just get down to it.
Give me the worst. Okay. Give me
the worst. I can't waste my time. That's so funny. I'm obsessed with that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Gigi, we are obsessed with you. And now I am more terrified, but I do feel closer to you. Like we've just gone through something. Like we all almost
survived.
We survived. I did, while you were telling the story, feel like I was about to get murdered at any moment. Cause I'm very of the moment. You really did take me to that terrifying place. So I feel like we've gone through something together. Now I'm gonna have to like look at puppies on my phone or something. But I love the amount of work Gigi did.
Oh my God. Clearly, I have no life.
No, it's so nice. We loved having you.
Thank
amazing.
You.
And Google her because she's everywhere. Google that beach.
You can go to my website, gigilee.com, J-I-J-I-L-E-E.com.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.